There's a close connection between art and nature, and thank goodness for that. What might Monet and Van Gogh have painted if they didn't hang around ponds and fields and forests? Our next guest started an arts organization that helps artists and activists maintain and strengthen connections to the natural world. The organization is called Signal Fire, and Ryan Pierce started it in Portland. He's visiting the Rogue Valley and joins us here in the studio. Ryan Pierce, welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Thanks. Good morning.
Tell us about you were part of a show at the Schneider Museum of Art in Ashland called Exploring Reality. Let's talk about that first. So what's the larger show about, and what's your part of it?
Sure. So Exploring Reality is the campus theme, I gather. And they're partnering with the museum for the first time to make an exhibition about the campus theme. So it's a group show with maybe seven or eight artists, and four of my paintings are included.
Is painting your primary medium? Are there others?
Yeah, painting, sculpture, and increasingly coercing people into taking walks.
So let's talk about that part. I mean, this is interesting because it's more than just art, and it's art and activist, as we pointed out, just introducing you. Where did the idea for Signal Fire come from?
Yeah, I co-founded it with my partner, Amy Harwood, who's a public lands activist. She's currently executive director at BARC, which is the watchdog group for Mount Hood National Forest. And initially, we just kind of wanted to trick our artist friends into coming camping with us by giving it a name, and that worked.
All right, so you just wanted company on the trip, or was it a larger purpose in mind at the beginning there?
Well, we thought that the sort of sense of self-sufficiency and confidence that you get from spending time in the backcountry would translate really well to the challenges that one faces as a working artist. And we also wanted to draw more artists and creative types into the activist community around defending and advocating for public lands.
Does there tend to be a bit of a wall between them, intentional or not?
Unintentionally, yeah. I think, you know, artists are busy and engaged in, you know, so many different sub-disciplines that we really wanted to connect people to the issues that we cared the most about.
Which are things like wilderness preservation, or at least the protection of natural areas, that sort of thing?
Sure, keeping natural areas protected for wildlife and open for access for soft recreation.
For what kind of recreation?
Like quiet recreation.
Okay.
As opposed to extraction and motorized recreation.
Okay. Did you say soft track? Was that the term you used?
I said soft, and then I said quiet.
Okay.
Soft and quiet.
I'd never heard soft track, but that's what I said. But so, in other words, not ATVs and motorcycles and that sort of thing in the backcountry. This
Correct.
Is not what you're about.
Right.
All right. Was there a lack of connection you perceived to the natural world in some artists?
No, artists seek that out for themselves for sure, but we really wanted to foster a sense of community around that through our organization. And to help people build their skills for being in the backcountry, and then to try to translate that into work that speaks directly about that experience.
So when you take people out in the woods, you seeking to give them themes to work with, or have you before now?
We introduce them to, let's say, starting points that they might work with. So we curate a reader that provides entry points for the cultural and human histories for the places that we're going, and invite the artist to respond to that. So in a way, we're sort of framing the experience or providing them a way to start their research process.
How rough do you make it? I mean, is this a, you know, true, like you're going to have to light your fire by rubbing sticks together kind of trip, or is it a little more
It's like The Revenant. Have you seen that?
Without the bears?
You have to crawl inside of a horse to sleep. No, I mean, we're a bunch of artists. We walk out there and sit down and make a good cup of coffee and start talking and making projects. So it's not survivalist at all. We cover some really simple skills like, you know, starting a fire the right way and keeping your food safe from animals, wilderness etiquette, low impact etiquette, that kind of thing.
I was about to ask if you taught them how to haul their food up into the trees to keep the bears from getting to it.
Yeah, absolutely, especially down here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Down in Southern Oregon, you mean?
Yeah, we've had some bear encounters in the Klamath, for sure.
Really? So where have your trips gone then? I mean, in the 8 years of Signal Fire, where have you taken people?
We go all over the West. This year we have two trips in the Klamath area, one long trip that spans Oregon to central Montana, in pieces, and then three trips in the Southwest. increasingly we're going back to areas and trying to build partnerships with local advocacy groups and scientists who can revisit our courses. And so we've sort of picked, we're kind of developing relationships in our favorite areas, which would be Mount Hood, Eastern Oregon, the Klamath, Central Arizona.
And who comes along on the trips? Who are the people who have gone on the trips offered by Signal Fire?
Yeah, so we serve all creative disciplines in addition to activists and researchers. Basically, anybody who can cobble together an application of any sort is eligible. And we've had musicians, poets, nonfiction writers, visual artists, performers, folks who work with activist communities and socially engaged art. Pretty big spectrum.
Sounds like Ryan Pierce is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, an artist and the founder of Signal Fire, an organization that brings artists and activists into the natural world or provides a closer connection for them. Join us on the Exchange with questions and comments, 800-838-3760 over the phone, by email jx@jeffnet.org. You mentioned bear encounters. Let's hear some of the stories from the trail over several years of Signal Fire. There must be a couple of good ones.
Sure. Well, so down in Northern California last year, we returned from a week-long trip, beautiful, along the Smith River, and found our van had a popped tire. And after some investigating, I noticed that our support rig had a cracked windshield and a big footprint on the hood. And I snooped around inside and found some food wrappers that some of our students had left inside. And sure enough, a bear had been investigating the vehicles while we were out on the trail. And I think the theory right now is that it stood up on the van tire to try to look inside and popped it with its toe.
Wow.
And then got scared and ran away. But, you know, we were like 17 miles out some logging road. So I basically had to lie to AAA to get them to tow us out of there. And if you're listening...
AAA, yeah.
The towing company from Crescent City, you really saved our butt that time, so mm-hmm. Thank you.
When you talked about being on the Smith River, I wonder, and obviously part of the function of Signal Fire is to bring activists out there with you as well. So, I mean, do you go to areas like the Smith River that have had at least proposals of activities that could potentially cause a change in those areas?
Sure, and this is an especially rich area for that because there are so many different factors shaping the use of the wildlands here. And so we like to introduce people to something that may look relatively pristine and then sort of problematize it or unpack it in a way where they can see how many different human interests have been at play over the years, and to frame public lands also as stolen lands and introduce people to the stories about who has lived there and what communities still adjoin it.
Public lands as stolen lands. This is certainly a set of phrases that you probably would hear a bit in Oregon at the moment since the takeover at the Malheur National Wildlife Refuge. You coming at this from a slightly different perspective, though, than that bunch?
Sure, yeah, in the sense that when that was all going down and we were all a little surprised when they said, return the land to its original inhabitants, well, they didn't mean the Paiute. But yes, when we bring people into wild places, we introduce them to what Native American tribes have lived in those places and let that be... that alongside the natural history be an introduction to the place before we move into more of the contemporary conflicts.
I understand that the theme of what you're doing this year with Signal Fire is unwalking the West.
That's correct. So our theme this year is structured around famous routes of European and early U.S. exploration across the West. And we're doing pieces of these routes backwards, talking about the legacy of settlement and colonialism in the West and tracing that legacy up into contemporary conflicts.
So how does that work? I mean, give me an example of a place you'll be walking. So you're going backwards, east rather than west.
Yeah, so our most ambitious trip, being a Portland-based organization, is Lewis and Clark. And we're starting in Astoria instead of St. Louis, and we're working our way eastward along the Lewis and Clark route, doing backpacking trips and canoe trips and reading their journals, but also looking at how their perspectives towards the land and the legacy of Manifest Destiny has created contemporary conflicts as well.
What's the longest leg of that that you're going to be away from civilization or out there with just backpacks for a time?
I'm hoping to do a really long backpacking trip in the Bitterroot because I love that area, Southwest Montana.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Montana into Idaho, or just okay, yeah,
exactly,
yeah. Ryan Pierce, again, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, artist and founder of the group Signal Fire, which is sort of an environmental art group, I guess. How do you describe yourself?
Sure. Environmental art group is terrific.
800-838-3760 if you'd like to join the conversation by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. So is unwalking the West meant to be symbolic? Is it political? I mean, are there real changes in policy you're trying to affect through this?
Well, I would say that we're at the cultural end of the spectrum, looking at affecting big change over the long term. I think that we consider the people who participate in our trips to be folks who generate culture and who can ask questions with their work. And so, you know, what we do is pretty open-ended, and I wouldn't say that we are looking for similar outcomes as an advocacy group. But there is an advocacy component to what we do just because we're engaging with public lands and the history of public lands.
I guess there are advocacy group members that go with you. I mean, your partner sounds like one of them.
Sure. Yeah, that's right. And then we also like to partner with local groups where we're going, for example, Chaos Wild in this area, mm-hmm. or, you know, if we can invite people who are really knowledgeable about the area to come out and talk with us, then it makes the experience rich for our artists.
I'm trying to find the distinction between what you do, for example, with artists and activists versus what other groups would do with I guess, just activists. I mean, for example, the Walk the Pipeline move in Southern Oregon last fall, where people were walking the length of where the LNG pipeline is proposed to go. How does your effort differ? I mean, you just have more artists than fewer activists or something?
Sure. Yeah, that's part of it. I mean, Amy designed a Walk the Pipeline piece when they were proposing the Palomar pipeline up in Mount Hood. That was about 10 years ago. And as she went, she stretched out this beautiful orange banner to illustrate the width of the proposed, you know, permanent clear cut that would result as part of the pipeline project. And so that's a case where she was using aesthetics in her work to really help people get the impact of it. And then a lot of our artists use experiences in the natural world to inform their work. So, yeah, I would say we're landing on the art side of it, but we're throwing folks in that mix.
Grab the headphones. We have a call for you. Let us go to Mark and Eugene. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Ryan Pierce from Signal Fire.
Yeah, good morning. How are you?
Good. Doing well. Yourself?
Good, thank you. Listen, the reference to all the activism that on this morning's show, I was just curious whether or not this activism is actually doing anything to address the, let's use the word arrogance of the mining that's going down on the rivers down there in your neck of the woods down there, because I'm from up here in Eugene, but we hear and we read.
You mean the people who insist upon still suction dredging even though it's banned?
Yeah, exactly. And if there's, you know, taking people out, making them aware, you know, that's fine. I used to run down to Humboldt all the time from up here in Eugene, and so I'm pretty aware of all that area. But we're referring to activism.
Mm-hmm.
Is this just feel-good talk, or is there actually something being done to support the people that are against this kind of
trend? All right. I'm going to guess it's more about aesthetics with this group, but let's get an answer from Ryan. Thanks for the call, Mark. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks. So you're right. We actually are not on the policy end of the perspective with our group. And what we're doing is more looking at like a long-term cultural change. And so we do bring people in, artists, to witness those kinds of things, those kinds of issues like the mining through this area. And then we invite them to respond, but we don't tell them how to respond. So that's different than an activist group.
How big a group of people do you take out at any time with Signal Fire?
Well, most wilderness areas have a 12-person limit, and so we would bring a maximum of 10 artists with two guides.
10 artists and two guides. And then is it sort of like a fellowship program? I mean, do the artists need to apply and have resumes and samples and all that stuff to get in?
Sure. Yeah. So we frame it as a retreat experience, and it's a meetup group. Artists pitch in for food and fuel costs. But we have volunteer guides, and they can meet up. We also have trips that are specifically designed for art students and emerging artists that are a little more curriculum rich. And those differ from our professional level trips in that they're not entirely self-directed, but we're actually doing like studio art courses in the backcountry.
So is Signal Fire doing what you intended it to do 8 years ago? Or has it gone in directions you didn't anticipate and you're just fine with that?
Yes.
All of the above.
All of the above. It's grown wildly beyond my imagination in such a thrilling way. And part of that is bringing in new voices. We have another staff member now, Kayla Farrell-Smith, really talented painter from Portland. And we have a board of directors, and we have guides that come from our alumni pool that we've started training in the Signal Fire way.
Mm-hmm.
And just all sorts of visiting artists and people who have enriched the dialogue for all of us.
Sounds like really interesting work. SignalFireArts.org is where to find you online?
That's correct.
All right. Ryan Pierce is an artist and the founder of Signal Fire. Thanks so much for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thanks so much for having me.